Well, it's I've been having fun today, doing my usual round of work, and did a little exploring. I found a website on the internet called Albert Gornication. And so, you know, I had to stop and explore for a while. It's a pretty neat place. I recommend that you all go there and visit. www.albertgornication.com. And it's kind of interesting. So if you feel like a little laugh, whether or not you like Al Gore, you know, there's some pretty funny stuff there. And if I found one that was, you know, critical of George Bush, I would give you that one too, but I didn't. At least not today. I might tomorrow or some other time. Gee, folks, this what's going on is past the ludicrous point. It is at the stage of just nothing but intense propaganda from both sides, directed solely at the Constitution for the United States of America and the vast herds of sheeple out there who are contentedly grazing their way into a democracy, not realizing it, thinking that they're already there. Wait till they find out what a democracy really is. You go back through history and look at the progression of the decline of the greatest nations or empires or whatever you want to call them in history, you'll find they went through certain stages. And the stage that always killed them was the stage of democracy, when they went into democracy and then declined into socialism and destruction of their morals and their ethical standards and their religious beliefs, and everybody, you know, just stopped the producing because the produce meant that it was just going to be taken from you and given to somebody that didn't produce. Democracies don't last long. They always disintegrate into either total chaos and destruction or some kind of dictatorship, which eventually leads to war or revolution. And we're headed in that direction. We are headed in that direction. What's taking place is absolutely incredible. Last night, I was a guest on Alan Handelman's East Coast Live, which is a Sunday night rock talk show. But he's had me on as guest there about every 3 or 4 months ever since 1988. And he's the only one that I'll be a guest on his show because he's a pretty decent guy. And he wants to do well. He really does. He believes in free speech. He has a whole lot of different viewpoints on his broadcast. Not like a lot of other these radio programs that, you know, they have some agenda when they invite you on. I don't take part in that. I have my own broadcast, so I don't need to. But I'm happy to help somebody like Alan Handelman out whenever I can, give him a little boost in his ratings, because, as he will tell you, I'm the most requested guest he's ever had on his show in the history of his broadcast, and he's been on for a long time. And whenever I go on his broadcast, I always make certain predictions, and they always come true. Last night, I predicted that the federal judge would throw Bush's, the Republicans' lawsuit out of court, you know, the suit that they filed this morning, as a matter of fact, or the other day. But the hearing was this morning, to stop the hand count in the state of Florida. And the reason, I told them all, I said, the reason he's going to throw it out is the federal government has no jurisdiction over the vote for the electors in the state of Florida. And the comment was, well, this is a federal election for the president. Vice said, no, you don't get it yet. It's no such thing. If you read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all the amendments, you will not find anywhere any reference to any popular election by the citizens of the states. What the Constitution does say is that the states have the right, or I should say the state legislatures have the right to choose their electors, and they're entitled to a certain number of electors according to how many representatives and senators they have in Congress. And those electors meet at a certain date prescribed by law, by Congress. to vote for the president. So the citizens of the states are not voting for the president, have never voted for the president, never will vote for the president unless there's an amendment to the Constitution. When they think they're voting for president and vice president, they're actually voting for the electors that they believe are going to represent them, and those electors actually elect the president and vice president of the United States. They can vote for anybody they want. There is no restriction in the Constitution or in any of the amendments to the Constitution or in the Bill of Rights. There is no restriction as to who the electors can vote for. They can vote for anybody they want. They can vote for and elect president somebody that didn't even run for the office. They could meet on December the 18th and vote for Ralph Nader and elect Ralph Nader president. And you know, the way it's going, the way everybody's getting sick of this little, circus going on down in Florida, they just might do that. I'm not making any prediction on that. I don't know what they're going to do because I don't know any electors. They haven't, they don't talk to me. Let's put it that way. And everybody thinks that the state of Florida is going to decide who the next president of the United States is going to be. And I'm telling you right now, Florida might surprise you. Because Florida, you see, according to the Constitution, the only right the states have in this election for the president is to, their legislature has the right to choose the electors in any manner that they want. Most states choose to have a popular vote. They fool the people into thinking they're voting for the president and vice president when the truth is they're not voting for either one. They're voting for electors that are supposed to go and represent the state in the Electoral College. And the state hopes that the electors will vote according to the popular vote in the state. They don't have to. You see, once the electors have been appointed, they are no longer within state jurisdiction. State has no jurisdiction over what the electors do after that point. They are now under federal jurisdiction and federal law. And the primary law is in the Constitution and in Article 12 of the amendments to the Constitution. And then there's a later amendment that gives the voters the right to vote for their electors. I think it's 22 or something like that. Don't hold me to that. But anyway, be that as it may, some states trying to fool the population of their state and the electors into thinking that the state has jurisdiction once the electors have been appointed have passed laws making it a criminal offense if the electors vote any other way than the popular vote in the state. Well, they've got a rude awakening coming if any of those electors choose not to go by that and vote their conscience. And the state prosecutes them, and it goes to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court's going to tell the state, it's just like the judge this morning told the Bush Republican team that, hey, this is not my jurisdiction. Well, the Supreme Court will then tell the state, whichever state tries to do this, tries to throw the elector in jail because of the way he voted, that, hey, that's not your jurisdiction. Once you've appointed the electors, they fall under federal jurisdiction, and they are ruled strictly by the Constitution and the United States Code. Period. That's it, Bubba. You better understand it right now. So there are some states that have these phony laws on the books that have no effect in law whatsoever because they're unconstitutional. They're outside their jurisdiction when they try to tell electors how to vote. And then you have a whole bunch of states where the electors are not required by state law, and no state has any regulation or law that tells them how to vote. Guess what, folks? Florida is one of those states. Florida is one of the states where the electors are not bound by the popular vote or bound by the state or bound by anything. They can vote for anybody they want. And so can any elector from any state, regardless of what state law may say. Once the electors are appointed, they are no longer under the jurisdiction or the venue of the state. They are under the jurisdiction of the federal government, under the Constitution for the United States of America and the United States Code, and their behavior is dictated by those laws from that point on. The electors might be looking at this little fiasco down in Florida with great amusement. I have no idea what they're going to do. I don't know who they're going to elect, but I tell you this. They don't have to elect anybody that you may think that they have to elect. And it doesn't matter whether Gore or Bush wins that silly, stupid vote down in Florida, because the vote was never for them anyway. It's for the electors that represent the state of Florida, and the electors are not bound to vote the way the people voted in the state of Florida, or anywhere else for that matter. So this could be very interesting. You know, after all this wrangling and fighting and legal battles and all this crap, one or the other might be declared the winner, and the Electoral College might kick them both out and put Ralph Nader or Pat Buchanan or somebody else in the Oval Office. Or, you know, Gore might finally win this little fiasco down in Florida, and the Electoral College might vote Bush into the Oval Office. And that's exactly the way the Founding Fathers meant for it to be. They didn't want a great mass of ignorant, uneducated people voting for the president of the United States of America. They wanted the states, the state legislatures, to choose prominent statesmen, people in their state who would do the right thing no matter what, and send them to an electoral college to elect the next president for the United States of America, so that we would not be at the mercy of some demagogue or some Hitler. See, Hitler didn't, you know, gain power over Germany against the will of the people. He was put there by the mob, ladies and gentlemen. That's how Hitlers get in those positions. This is supposed to be a constitutional republic where we're governed by the rule of law, and where we have statesmen, supposedly, who do things in the best interest of the country, not to get reelected, not because they belong to some party, but because it's in the best interest of the nation. Now, over the years, we've done a lot of things to subvert that process. You see, the Founding Fathers were geniuses. They built this nation like a tank. And they said, the way we built this nation, and the freedom that we've given to our people, and the opportunity, and the moral values that they hold, no one from without can destroy this nation or this people or this government. If it's going to be destroyed, it can only be destroyed from within, by the very people that we built it to protect. If it's going to be torn asunder, it will be by the American people. It won't be by the French, or the Germans, or the Russians, or the Spanish, or anybody else. And so they built it with safeguards. They made the people sovereign. The individual states answered to the individual people, or the citizens of the states. And the states were sovereign to each other and to the federal government. But they created a federal government to fulfill some capacity for the mutual benefit and welfare of all of the states and all of the people, for a common protection as a nation, and to take care of all of the problems that they had with interstate and international commerce, to make sure that we had one money, not a whole bunch of different money printed by a whole bunch of different states that might have different value in different states, and people might, you know, really get screwed going through a process like that. And certain other things. But they severely limited the federal government. And to make sure that the federal government was limited, they put in safeguards. One of those safeguards was that senators were appointed by the legislatures of the states, not voted by the people. And that was so that the states could protect their sovereignty against encroachment from the federal government. They put into place a House of Representatives elected by the people, so that there's a balance between the sovereignty of the state and the sovereignty of the people. You see, they had checks and balances for everything, to prevent the country from coming under the power of some demagogue our petty dictator, our oligarchy. They put in place an electoral college, and the people had nothing whatsoever to do with it. It was up to the legislatures of the states to figure out how to appoint the electors who would attend the Electoral College on a certain date prescribed by law, that law determined by the Congress, in order to elect the President and Vice President of the United States of America. In case they tied, then the House of Representatives, representing the sovereignty of the people, would determine who the President would be, and the Senate would determine who the Vice President would be. In case that tied, the tie would be broken by guess who? The President of the Senate would break the tie in the Senate, and the President of the House of Representatives would break the tie in the House of Representatives. So, and, you know, there are other checks and balances set in place so that if the President-elect died before he was inaugurated on January the 21st, well, then guess what? There is a line of succession, just as if the President were to die in office in the White House after having assumed the office of President. Now, a long time ago, we did away with one of the checks and balances. We did away with the right of the state legislatures to appoint the senators of the states, and we made that a popular vote. So we destroyed the protection of the sovereignty of the states, and you've seen what's happened since then. The federal government has taken full advantage of that, and because senators are afraid that, they're not statesmen anymore, they're not going for a certain term to come back and they've done their duty. They are professional politicians and they want to get reelected. So they cater to the whim and the will and the wishes of the mob. And the federal government takes full advantage of that by encroachment upon the sovereignty of the states. It takes people like me who are strong enough and knowledgeable enough to draw a line in the sand and say, no. I know what you're doing. I caught you in the act, and I'm not going to participate. That's what the Founding Fathers meant when they said, you know, if you want to stay free, you have to have eternal vigilance. If you want to be free, you've got to be willing to die for it. Every so often, the tree of liberty must be fertilized by the blood of tyrants and patriots. Our patriots and tyrants. So we've reached another one of those turning points now where they are maneuvering the sheeple, the vast, ignorant, unwashed masses, as Marx would have called them. Well, in this country, they're not unwashed, but they are ignorant, and they certainly are the masses. They certainly have a herd mentality. They certainly don't think for themselves. And there's this big hue and cry being raised across the country now to do away with the Electoral College so that we will truly be at the mercy of the mob in every aspect. In every aspect. And we will truly then be living in a democracy. A democracy is the rule of the majority. The majority, once they discover how powerful they are, vote them everything that they can possibly get for free. And there's nothing free. The government can give none of us anything that we didn't give to the government to begin with. And therefore, taxes go through the roof. Property is confiscated. Eventually, you reach a state of socialism. That's why both Marx and Lenin said democracy is indispensable to socialism, because the mob will lead us there. Don't need anybody to lead us there once the mob is in control. They will lead us there because they will vote themselves the largesse of the treasury whenever they can. And it will reach a point where those who do the productive work in the nation can no longer produce what is needed to carry the weight of the socialism up on their shoulders, and then private property is confiscated. Businesses are nationalized. That's where we're going, folks. We're going exactly where I've told you that we were going all this time. And this is no accident. Things have happened to me throughout my life that have set me on this course that I had no more control over than the moon does in its path around the earth every 28 days and some odd hours. I am a messenger, and you had better listen to my message. You better prepare yourselves. Because at some point, and I'm not wise enough to know exactly when that point is going to be, I can't name the date or the year, but at some point, those of us who are truly understanding of the principles and ideals which made this nation great and set the common man and woman free for the first time in the history of the world, and understand that we cannot remain free unless we are willing to die for it, we'll take up arms against this tyranny. We will do it. And there will be a point where it will be common knowledge amongst all of us that that is the time. No one will have to stand up and say, to arms. It will just happen. Hillary Clinton has stated publicly that her first act as a senator for the state of New York, and she has the full backing of that nasty commie Schumer, will introduce a constitutional amendment to do away with the Electoral College. The leader of the minority in the House has also called for the elimination, minority being Democrats at this time, the elimination of the Electoral College. You're hearing it discussed openly on the networks all across the nation every day and every night, almost 24 hours a day now. And now they're running polls that say that most people are sick of the Electoral College and don't want to hear about it anymore, don't want anything, they want to get rid of it. I knew this was coming, ladies and gentlemen. About a year and a half ago, when they first started talking about the Electoral College in reference to this election, I knew this was coming. Because never in the history of this nation, during my lifetime, because I got to tell you, in the beginning of this nation, they all knew how it worked. And they went and voted for their electors. And up until 1824, that's all they did. There was no popular vote for president or vice president. And during my lifetime, none of the talking heads on any of the networks or any of the newspapers or anybody anywhere ever discussed the Electoral College. And when they started openly discussing it and talking about what it was for and what it would mean, I knew damn well that this election would be geared in a manner to cause the American people to want to give up the Electoral College. And if you will remember, that is when I began educating my listening audience as to exactly what the Electoral College is, how the President and Vice President are really elected, what that process consists of, and what it means. And oh, how you hated me for that. Because even this audience, as educated as you may be, had no idea when you went to the polls that you were not voting for the President and Vice President, but were voting for an elector. And you actually believe that at the end of Election Day, the president had been chosen, when that's a lie. The president has never been chosen in the history of this country until January the 6th, when the secret ballot of the electors is opened by the president of the Senate, and the votes are counted in the president of the Senate, in the presence of the Senate, and the new president and vice president are announced. In the case of a tie, The election for the president goes to the House of Representatives, and the Senate elects the vice president. And oh, what letters I received. What terrible phone calls I received on the air and off the air for months after that. But now everybody knows. But most people don't understand anything about it. And what they think they know isn't really what they know at all. Because I'm still hearing all of these talking heads and all of these people and everybody who calls into C-SPAN and everywhere else and all these other talk shows, even though they have now been educated about the Electoral College, they're still making stupid, asinine statements like this. Our democracy is in great danger because it is now 6 days after the presidential election has occurred and we still don't have a president. You would think that somebody in this country would have sucked up some brains. Well, I happen to know that Al Gore and George Bush both know exactly what I know. They know what I know. And now that you know it, they know what you know also. They know where jurisdiction is and where it isn't. So when George Bush and the Republican team took that suit into federal court this morning, they knew before they went in there it was going to be thrown out. This was a little play for the people to make them more disgusted with what was going on. They knew that. They knew that the election for the electors in the state of Florida and every other state in this nation is under state jurisdiction, not federal jurisdiction, and that nothing to do with state jurisdiction can ever be taken to a federal court until it has been adjudicated in the state courts. Now, they all know that because they're all lawyers. They're all attorneys. They've all served in government positions. But they didn't take it into state court because they didn't want a resolution. They wanted controversy. They wanted a nation divided. They wanted argument. They wanted anger. They wanted people pitted against each other along party lines. And that is the truth. You see, if they really wanted a resolution, they would have taken their argument, whatever it may be, into a state court. If they lost there, they would have gone to a state appeals court. If they lost there, they would have gone to the state Supreme Court. If they lost in the state Supreme Court, then and only then could they take it to a federal court based upon some constitutional issue. And it would have to be a constitutional issue because the federal government has absolutely no jurisdiction in any way, shape, or form over state elections. And the Constitution for the United States of America, your guaranteed right to vote, has nothing to do with city, county, and state level. That's all decided by your state constitution. Your right to vote guaranteed to you in the Constitution for the United States of America is your right to vote for your electors or for your state legislators. In order that there can be a jurisdiction that has the will of the people. It guarantees your right to vote for your representatives in the House of Representatives. And now that they have done away with the requirement that senators be appointed by state legislatures, you have the right to vote for your senator. Also, you have the right to be a mob. And if you want to get insulted because I call them the great ignorant masses, the herd of sheeple, you can do that. You have the right to get angry if you want. It's not in the Constitution, but it's a natural law. It's a natural right. But nevertheless, it's true. Most people do not choose their candidates, the people that they're going to vote for, on any logical determination whatsoever. Now, if you don't believe me, you sit down with people. Now, don't do it after the election's over and they've heard all these reasons why they should have voted for somebody or such and such or whatever. Ask them before they go vote. Who are you going to vote for? Oh, I'm voting for Joe Charlie. Oh, really? Why are you voting for Joe Charlie? Well, in the last election, I thought he looked pretty good. He was wearing a nice suit, and, you know, he really came off as looking better than the other guy. That's the answer you'll get from most people. Or you'll get some silly thing like, well, he's promised to give the old folks drugs. Well, that's nice. Let's drug all the old folks. And let's give them the drugs. You know, come on, folks. And you sit and you watch this. I've been watching this since Election Day, since Tuesday. And it's the media is fueling this. They are fueling the fracture in America. They are causing the rift between people to become a chasm. This is all being done on purpose. Round the clock, 24 hours a day. It's all you see, it's all you hear everywhere. This nation is so fractured at this point, right now, that we'll be lucky if we even have any kind of semblance of recovery to anything even remotely near a normal state after this is all over. Is it a constitutional crisis? No, not yet. Will it become one? Yes, I imagine that it will at some point in the future, but right now it's not. It's not a constitutional crisis. What's going on in the state of Florida has nothing to do with the Constitution for the United States of America, period. Zip, zilch, zero. It's the people in the state of Florida trying to determine who they're going to send to vote for president when the Electoral College meets on December the 18th. And it won't be over then, because that's when they meet to vote. They have to come back on the 27th and count their votes and certify them as a group. All this is done in secret. Nothing is told to the public. And then they deliver their votes sealed in an envelope, certified, to the President of the United States Senate on January 6th. And only on January 6th will anybody know who the President is of the United States of America, if there's no tie. There could still be a tie. And if there's a tie, there still will not be a president on that date. You know, the Constitution for the United States of America is very short. It only consists of 7 articles. There's a whole bunch of amendments, but they're all short. It's very easy to read the thing. You can read the whole Constitution and all of the amendments in about an hour. Nobody does it. So they call me, and they ask me what it says. And you've heard what I do. I turn it right back on. Why are you asking me? Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Have you read it? Well, if you've read it, you know the answer. Why are you asking me? The Founding Fathers were geniuses. They argued for weeks and months over the words that they put in that document so that their meaning would be clear, and they were geniuses. And it's written, guess what, folks? This may come as a surprise to most of you, but it's written in English. Yeah, that's right. I know that a lot of you put off reading it because you thought it was written in some kind of strange, weird code and you wouldn't understand it. And you thought you'd have to hire 2 or 3 lawyers to explain it to you, but I got news for you. It's written in simple English. The meanings of the words are clear. And if you have any doubt, don't go look in a modern-day dictionary. Look in a Webster's 1824 dictionary. That's the one to get the meaning. Because the meaning of the words in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, were not determined by today's dictionary. Are by our modern use or meaning of words in this today's modern world. The words mean what they meant when the Founding Fathers wrote that document and included them in that text. But it's still English, and you still get a copy of Webster's 1824 dictionary. No problem whatsoever.
Yep. And you'd be surprised how our language has been changed since then. You would be amazed. Let's open the phones now and get your thoughts on all of this. 520-333-4578. If you have any thoughts on it. I don't know. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're sick of it, like I am. But because I'm the host of this broadcast, I can't turn it off. I got to keep watching it, and I got to keep up to date with it, and I got to keep telling you what's going on, because that's my job. That's the job God gave me. God gave me this job. He steered me here all my life. I don't know how it happened, but here I am. My job is to wake you up, deliver a message, like I said in my book, to His people, so that they may not perish in what is to come. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, I want to say thank you, too. Recently, you signed the constitutions for our practice Blue Beret shoot. I want to thank you personally for signing them and sending them back to us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Big success.
If that helped, then I was glad to do
people,
it.
Some people really appreciated that prize. I told them to read the Constitution, too, which most people do and some people don't, but you know, that's how that goes, too.
Most don't. They take it home, throw it in the drawer, and they say, well, I'll read it next week.
Well, one thing that I've been doing, I get those pocket Constitutions that we sent you, I take them to highlight them. I teach people how to highlight them the same way I do. All the good sections is show people and read it themselves. You walk around with that highlighted copy, let people read it. It seems to be effective in getting people to think about with what's going on.
Well, with some people that works.
Yeah, but one of the things I've learned from you is how to teach other people to think for themselves. It doesn't always work, but there's some people out there who just need the information. If you give them the right direction, they'll go. And people are just wasting your time with.
Well, it doesn't do any good to tell somebody something if, number one, they don't want to hear it, and number two, they don't know how to think because they don't know what to do with it. So, you know, one of my goals over all of these years has been to teach people to think, to make them think, to force them to think. And it works with some people. Other people, they're never going to learn to think. And so you have to, what I advise people to do who are in your situation is try to direct your efforts toward those people who will make the best use of it. And don't waste your time on the stupid sheeple.
That's a very good point. One of the things I've learned from you is to take our action result. Like we said, we are on our practice Blue Beret shoot, and we've got other events. If people could just hear, listen, audience, you take your internet site, if you don't cut your internet, go to the library, you pay for it anyway, you get the information there, take it and download it, and just make copies of it and hand it out to people to read.
Yep.
Everybody can do something. You provide the information, you provide the inspiration. All they got to do is get up and decide to get off their ass and do something.
Good luck.
Well, some people do.
You're right. But when I say something like that, cynical or sarcastic, good luck, you know, I'm talking about this vast herd of sheep. They're never going to be anything other than sheep. And when all hell breaks loose and the buffalo chip hits the fan, they're going to be the flotsam and jetsam up on the tides of war. They're going to be the dead bodies in the ditch, the long lines of refugees in the roads, the beggars at the crossroad. That's who they will be.
That's for sure. One of the things I try to do is let people understand there is definitely a war coming, and then they better take a side, because when it gets closer it gets, the shelf that fence post is going to get there sitting on, and they're going to do something with it, if not nothing else.
Yeah, well, we've been in a war for a long time. We are engaged in a war, and these people are waging war against us constantly. And some of us know it and have been fighting the battle, and we're out on the battlefield on the front lines, and we've taken casualties. But the real shooting hasn't started yet. But the war started a long time ago.
At that point, your listening audience can make the biggest difference when they decide to fight or flee. What do they want to do? It gets up to, what do you want? What's worth it to you? I mean, we've had all the best we could ever have in the entire world, and all we got to do is stand up and keep it.
Well, that's one of the problems. They're spoiled.
Yeah, but spoiled's one thing. You know, they're going to lose it all, though. They're just going to, like, they're going to make try to make a deal. Well, most people, if you would give them some oppression, you give them 3 steps, you take 1 step off of them, they'll take the 2 steps you give them toward oppression and go into slavery, because they got 1 step off, because they got off in the deal.
It's like a child in a new school that's been protected all his life, And he's gone to private schools. He's never been around a bully. Nobody's ever punched him in the nose. Nobody's ever tried to steal his lunch money. All of a sudden, his dad takes a dive on the stock market, and he's got to go to public school when he's 8 years old. And for the first time, he comes up against the bully. And the bully smacks him in the nose and takes his lunch money. You think that spoiled brat's going to hit that bully back?
He ain't smart enough to understand that he should.
Well, you see, most of them won't. Because they have no idea what to do. They think they're going to get just absolutely stomped into the ground, and they're scared to death. And it's going to take them years to learn how to deal with that bully. And so that's what I mean by the American people are spoiled. They're spoiled rotten, and they believe, they sincerely believe that no matter how bad it gets, somebody's going to come along and save them. They won't have to lift a finger to do it, because this is America. It can't happen here.
I forget so many times.
I mean, yeah. So you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's just a shame that people just don't want to get involved. You get some of the best listeners out there. I've met some of your listeners who are involved. I mean, I've met quite a few in my area out here in Pennsylvania. And a lot of the ones I've met, they listen to you like, well, you know, they get reasons why I'm not doing anything.
Because they're never going to. They listen to me for entertainment. See, there's a portion of this audience that listens to me for entertainment. There's a portion of this audience who are dyed-in-the-wool socialists and communists who listen to me because they're masochists. They can't help themselves. I give them their nightly beating 4 nights a week.
Well, that's some pretty sick people out there.
Yeah, there are. There's lots of sick people. Lots of sick people.
Hey, one of the things you can do for me, I haven't heard you talk about this on the air, but I've heard it before. This is one of the things I personally got a big kick out of you, too. When you're in Vietnam, you're up in Syracuse, New York, giving a lecture up there, and you talked about how when you're a patrol boat captain and playing by the rules. Of all the speeches you ever made, that's the one thing that I personally got most out of all the stuff.
Really? Wow, I thought probably most people would take that as being the most boring.
No, because it really defines it. You can do anything you want to as long as you play by the rules. It's a really good story. I think you listeners would probably appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, maybe some night I will. Yeah, I had as much power as any dictator on the face of this earth after I left that pier on my patrol boat with my crew and all those weapons at our disposal, and it was up to me to decide who would live or who would die out of all of the people we came in contact during our patrol. It was my decision and my decision alone. As long as I played by the rules, I could make those decisions and survive. If I didn't play by the rules, I would bite the dust along with whoever bit the dust at my hand. And there were ways to, but we'll do that some other night. Let's skip on to somebody else here. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
520-333-4578 is the number. Yep, there were rules. You had to stick by the rules. If you didn't stick by the rules, you could become a casualty just as easy as somebody that you decided you were going to remove from the face of the earth. And everybody who led a combat team in Vietnam had that power. Life or death over anybody and everything they came in contact with. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Do you feel that the Electoral College has failed us in at least the last two elections because they had a duty to do, and they failed to do that duty when they seated Bill Clinton the first time?
No, I think the people of the states failed us and the Electoral College, because here's how the states do it nowadays. It's up to the Constitution says the legislature of each state can determine how the electors are chosen. They choose to have popular elections, fooling the people into thinking they're voting for president and vice president. And then if the Democratic candidate wins the popular vote in that state, the Democrat Party appoints party hacks to be the electors for that state, when the original intent of the founders would that they be statesmen, not party hacks. So it's the state legislatures. And they do this when one party has control over the other party and they decide to make it a political issue instead of do the right thing for the state and for the nation. And so statesmen are not appointed to the Electoral College. But every once in a while, a statesman rises up out of those party hacks and votes opposite of the way that he's supposed to vote. And that's happened two times in our history. Rutherford B. Hayes was elected president over Tilden, by one electoral vote when Tilden had 251,000 popular votes over Hayes.
I see. Okay.
You see what
I
mean?
You know a lot more history than I do.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be here trying to teach you if I didn't.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yep, that's what's happened, folks. We've subverted ourselves. You need to go to your state legislatures and change the way your state chooses its electors. Because I'm telling you right now, if it was done properly, Bill Clinton would never have been elected to the White House. Never. Good evening. You're on the air. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, this is Kevin in Nevada.
Hi.
Yes, I heard you talk about the Webster's 1824 dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried quite a few times when I had access to the Internet on, you know, Amazon and some of the others, some of the bookstores, used bookstores, and no one's heard of it.
Well, come on. They sell it on Amazon.com.
I haven't been able to find it on there.
Well, maybe you don't know how to do a search. But it's not only there, but you can buy it in bookstores. I mean, it's in print. It's been in print for years. You can even get it on a CD.
I'll try again.
You just need to keep on looking. Looking and looking. Surfing and murfing.
The proper name is Webster's 1824?
Yeah, the 1824 Webster's Dictionary.
I'll try again. Thank you very much.
The proper title is Webster's Dictionary, the English Language, 1824 edition.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yep, you can get it. It's in print. It's out there. For many years, it wasn't in print. Until I educated people on this broadcast that they needed it, and so many people wanting it created such a demand for it that they started printing it again. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever happened with that broadcast video analyzer and the moon landing?
We're not discussing that tonight. And what happened to it is nothing. We're still working on it.
Okay,
what do you think? Well, you think I got a magic wand here? I wave it and months and years of work get done?
Sorry to bring it up, man. All right, have a good evening.
Try doing what we're doing on your own, and you'll see how time intensive it is, and we don't have all that time. 520-333-4578. See, there's a guy who wants me to do something for him, and he's not happy that it hasn't been done yet. And so he's asking about it. Where is it? I want it now. And I'm not interested in all this stuff that we're discussing tonight. I want to know about UFOs and the moon. That's what I want to know about. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. Do you know whether or not there has ever been a time where the people actually voted for the electors as opposed to...
Yes. Every election that's ever occurred.
How would that...
When you vote for somebody in your state, you think you're voting for Al Gore. You're not. You're voting for the Democratic Party electors.
Correct. I understand that. I guess what I wanted to clarify then was it was my kind of an idea, this is, but I don't know whether it be speculation or not, but that the Founding Fathers might have wanted to have actual electors on the ballot for instance.
They did. Where have you been? I talked about this last night and the night before and about last week sometime. Up until 1824, all of the elections were for the electors. 1824, they started voting for president and vice president. They thought they were voting for president and vice president.
By actual name?
Yeah. They voted for the electors. Not?
They did.
Yeah. The electors went to Washington, D.C. and elected the president.
Excellent. Well, that was my question. I just wondered whether we ever had an opportunity to actually vote for individuals that were electors.
Yeah, absolutely. And the electors would present themselves for election, and they would tell who, they would elect and talk about why they would elect that person and so on and so forth.
Boy, I'd sure like to see that come back again.
Well, so would I, and that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yep, you bet. Well, that's my question. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578, that's the way they did it up until 1824. 1824 was the first recorded popular election across this nation in the states. And the people actually, from that time on, thought that they were electing the president, vice president. You know, at some point they began to think that. I know they didn't think that in 1824 because they knew that nothing changed, from 1820. But at some point, the American people began to believe that they were voting for the president and vice president instead of the electors. And that's a big fallacy.
520-333-4578 is the number. We still got time for a few more calls, and I know you're out there scratching your head wondering what's going on. Some of you have some questions or comments or whatever, so get on the phone right now. It's your turn. 520-333-4578. And what's Jesse Jackson doing down in Florida? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's trying to whip up a race war. Us black folks didn't get to vote. Somebody took away our right to vote. You been listening to him? Nobody took away their right to vote. If they screwed up the ballot, that didn't take away the right to vote. They took away their right to vote. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yeah.
In the state of Georgia this year, they did have, under the presidential names, they did have the state, the electors for the states. So,
oh, good.
It was very clear in the state of Georgia, anyway, at least in my voting precinct, that
good.
You were voting for electors.
So. Yeah, good.
And
well,
they had them for Democrats and for Republicans.
Well, that's good. Most states, they don't do that. Most states, in fact, most Americans, doesn't matter what state they're in, I would even bet in the state of Georgia, thought they were voting for president and vice president, even though they saw those electors' names there.
I polled a few people myself and asked them if they realized who the electors were, and they said, well, you know, I didn't realize what all those names were.
Well, then why did you vote for them? That's what I was, you voted for them. You saw those names there, and you're admitting
right.
to me you didn't even know what they were for. You voted for them.
That's right. Man.
You see what I see? What I mean? Can't you hear that? Hear that big noise? Hear the big noise? Feel the earth shaking? The herd is moving. The herd is restless tonight. They're moving. They're tramping the earth. I can feel the vibrations beneath my feet.
And on one of the parties, one of the electors was deceased, but they went ahead and published his name anyway.
Yeah, you know, I want to ask you guys something. If it's okay to elect a dead man to the United States Senate in the state of Missouri, what's wrong with dead people voting?
Well, that's a good point. Thank you, Bill.
I think it's an excellent point. Thanks for calling. Yeah, can you answer that, folks? If somebody can elect a dead man to take a seat in the United States Senate, elect him to the United States Senate, a dead man, what in the hell is wrong with dead people voting? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, this is Gordon.
Hi, Gordon.
Yeah.
Are you alive or dead?
I'll be dead here after a little bit.
Well, go ahead.
We all go sometime. I still want to vote, though.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, if we can elect a dead man to the United States Senate, well, why can't dead people vote? And if dead people can't vote, why should I take a call from a dead person? That's why I was asking.
Well, I'm
so dead. I want to make sure that you're dead.
Call me a doctor and get it legal.
Okay.
Hey, Jesse has to vote first before he went to Florida on the butterfly ballot there in Illinois for his son.
Yep.
Same ballot that they use in Florida.
Yeah, but you've got to understand, he has the legacy of one of the crookedest Democrat families in the entire United States. It was his family that taught the rest of the Democrats in this country how to raise the dead to vote. The Daley family. Remember that?
I'm talking about Jesse Jackson.
Oh, you're talking about Jesse. I thought you were talking about old Daley, who voted up there in Cook County on a butterfly ballot.
We'll lump them all together. His son, Jesse's son, is a representative in Illinois or whatever up there. And,
oh, okay.
They use that butterfly ballot. I voted on one in Houston.
Yeah.
And,
the ballot doesn't make any difference. The ballot has nothing to do with it. Period. If you're too stupid to go in a voting booth and figure out how you're supposed to vote, you don't belong there in the first place.
I understand that.
I want to
vote down their stadiums in Houston. They want all this money for all these glorious samples to their teams and all that.
Well, sure.
No one all that. So.
Well, you got to live in Texas to understand the sports mania. Well, I got to tell you something. If you live in a small Texas town and you don't show up on the night that the football, that the high school football team is playing the championship with some football team from somewhere else, ain't nobody ever going to talk to you again.
That is the God's truth on that.
Yep, that's the way it is in the state of Texas.
I'll let you go. You get somebody else in. Good talking to you,
Bill. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for calling.
We'll see, Bill.
That's it, folks. Another episode of the Hour of the Time, and you have just noticed, I hope, an increase in the number of brain cells between your ears. If you haven't, you better stop listening to this broadcast because it's not benefiting you in the least.
Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poo and Allison. I love you. I miss you. Oh, so much.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. Let the step law pass through. We're here for the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a current attack. Did you got a complaint? Think of the fact.
Get out of this house. Surrender your charges. Give me your gold. The federal way if you want to go home. Now to the good and do what you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, the money founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying take the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar's right, Clinton's preparing it for another huge attack. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, create the panic and rape the nation. Order. Crisis creation. Incite black and white. Program agitation.
Don't resist. You're surrounded by the UN in white and gray, the ATF, the men in black, and the one world order.
But it's not new. Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilations. Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination biochip, milk carton kits, genetic engineering. Clinton says her health plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood. Masonic mind manipulation. Inciting riots, it's crisis creation. Biochip implantation. Vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of health care benefits that are always there and can never be taken away. Never be taken away.
Atmospheric. Social illusion. Media hype. Plan confusion.
Masonic religion. It's a lie. Got you praying for a Luciferian Messiah.
The Illuminati thinks that they're enlightened, that they're to be the gods of Earth, born of incest from the sons of Satan and their sisters in satanic birth. Hidden agenda, Kissinger, Nixon, Ford, and Bill, while your kids out back smoking crack for some cheap thrill. They've numbed us down and dumbed us down with fluoride TV drugs, the NEA, and public schools. They've taken your brightest and our best and made them public fools. With managed media, brain-bending lies and self, the banksters stole your wealth. Johnson, Bush, Carter, Reagan, Gore, and Dan, they've all been pushing pipes, the Sonic Master Plan. Rhodes Scholar Oration, Clinton speaks, then rapes the nation. Luciferian subjugation, New World Order, Illuminati coronation,
Mass Media, Grand Omega,
Orders of the Quest, think they're superior, they think that they're the best.
And you're inferior, you little fat.
Skull and Bones, Colin G, Knight Templar, Harvard University.
They're the Faustian fraternity.
Knights of the Golden Circle, Ancient Order of the Rosen Cross, CFR, Albatross.
Rockefeller's Bob.
MK Ultra, ISA, from the OSS to the CIA.
Mass murder.
It's a game they play.
Galileo, NASA, Jupiter, Plutonium 2000.
You, son. They'll call it Lucifer. For fun.
Pyramid Giza, Hitler called it the Luciferian Millennium.
1,000 points of light.
Love of Rome, Thunderdome, I do call it Lucifer Cut.
If the UN lives, y'all go back.
Wake up, stupid, and read the scoop. Mullen, Sutton, Griffin, and tune in to Coop.
Come on, Cardinal Tuesday.
Bohemian Grove, Beverly Hall, Lord Betrayer, they want it all.
Yeah, they want it all.
Kissinger, Gingrich, Army, Buckley, Dole, New World Order, authoritarian control.